I'm going to recap the sermon a little bit from last week because it's kind of an ongoing story. We're in a series called Romans Road, and Romans Road is just an evangelism method to teach somebody how you come to faith in Christ. So there's four things we need to keep in mind when we're studying this Romans Road series. Number one, we are all sinful. Number two, our sin has consequences. Number three, Jesus died for sinners like us, which is really good news. And number four, when we respond in faith and confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior, we have been saved. So along this Romans road, there are four road signs or four key Bible verses. Actually, it's five, but I'm only going to preach for 4 weeks, so I'm going to combine 1 week. But our four road signs are, one, we must acknowledge our sin, which is what we did last week in Romans 3:23. As believers, we recognize that all people sin and fall short of God's glory. Road sign number two, we must understand the consequences of our sin. As believers, we understand that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, which is where we'll be today, Romans 6:23. Road sign number three is Jesus died for sinners like us. As believers, we understand that God showed His love for us by sending Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, Romans 5:8. And road sign number four, which is the one I'm combining, we must respond with confession of faith, and we will receive assurance of our salvation. Excuse me. When we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved, Romans 10:9. As believers, we have assurance of our salvation. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory, Romans 5, 1, verses 1 and 2. We also have assurance of salvation when we consider Romans 8:1. For now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. So last week I told a story, I made up a little story for us that should be pretty easy to, one, relate with, and two, remember. Save Sam and Lost Larry are traveling down the Romans Road, and they get to their first road sign, which says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And we remember that Lost Larry parked on a bed of nails and it popped all four of his tires, and he was cussing and fussing because those tires cost $250 each. Brad is still not here this week, so he can't do the simple math. 250 times 4 is 1,000. He also had to call a tow truck, which cost him $500, and Lost Larry's one of Lost Larry's biggest idols was his money, so he was all tore up because he lost a little bit of money. Okay? So Sam confronted Larry about this anger, about his anger, his idolatry, and his sin, and for the first time in Larry's life, Larry realized that he was an angry money chaser. Larry realized for the first time that he was sinful. So we also remember at the end of the story, hopefully you remember at the end of the story, the truck driver, does anybody remember his name? Billy Believer, shows up, at least the kids are listening, shows up and loads Larry's car up, and three men go into town to get the car fixed, and that's where we left off, and that's where we're going to pick up. So this week, Sam, Larry, and Billy, Believer, are traveling down the road headed towards town, and Billy is getting a little info from Sam and Larry. Sam tells Billy that he's taking his pal Larry down the Romans Road. Billy got excited because, like Sam, Billy had traveled the Romans Road 10 years ago. Billy, Believer, was saved. So Billy asked Larry how the trip was going so far, and Billy made it pretty clear very quickly that he was not enjoying the trip. But Larry did say that he was beginning to realize that for the first time that maybe he was living for the wrong things, and he should consider there's more for him than success, money, and pleasure. Larry asked Billy what time he thought that Billy would have the car ready, and Billy said it should take about 2 hours. Larry was relieved because he told his girlfriend, was Crazy Katie, step your game up. What are you doing? Crazy Katie is the girlfriend. Sorry, Katie. You weren't here last week. You weren't on my mind when I named the girlfriend. I promise. Larry was relieved because he told his girlfriend, Crazy Katie, that they were going to have dinner at 7 o'clock tonight. And then Billy Believer started laughing. He said, I used to do that too. And Larry said, you used to do what? He said, I used to chase the girls around. It ended up getting me in a lot of trouble. I had three girlfriends once and couldn't pay all the child support, so I ended up in jail. I was in jail for 3 years. That's where I first heard about the Romans Road. That's where I first learned about the grace of Jesus. I figured out in jail that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I realized I was in jail because I was a sinner and that there were consequences to my sin and for my sin. I was in the place I was in because of my own actions. And it was in jail that a man told me about Jesus. The man told me we are all sinful, our sin has consequences, Jesus died for sinners like us, and when we respond in faith and confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior, we have been saved. And Billy Believer said he confessed Jesus as his Lord and Savior and was baptized in the prison chapel, and he has been following Jesus ever since. Billy then pulled into the mechanic shop and said, boys, you all go over there to that diner and have some breakfast, and I'll have you back on the road in no time. So they left Billy and walked across the street and sat down in the diner. Larry and Sam sat down, and Larry said, I have to change my ways. I'm chasing this money. I'm living for work success. I don't want to find out what the consequences of my sin will be. Larry went on to say, I'm sinful, Sam, and I've already felt some of the consequences of my sin. Please tell me more about Jesus. So last week we studied Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this week our verse is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When I was growing up, I've got nothing but illustrations today. When I was growing up, my dad had a few catchphrases that me and my sister could recall. And one of them, it sounds violent, but it wasn't. One of them was, I'm going to box you upside your big ugly head. He would say that when we were acting stupid or silly or just acting goofy. It was his way of saying, quit being ridiculous, but we're from the South, so you can't just get to the point. You have to make up a phrase. So he would say, I'm going to box you upside your big ugly head. Of course, he never did that. It was just his loving way of saying, please stop doing what you're doing. Another one was, I can't help you. And that was his way of saying, I don't know what you want me to do about this. It could also mean you're going to have to figure this out on your own. So you go to him with a problem. He can't solve the problem. He would simply say, I can't help you. You all would probably say can't, but we say can't. Can't. But the most repeated, most frequent saying that he had for us over and over and over and over and over, and my sister would attest to this as well, is ain't nothing free. He would always say ain't nothing free. And there was no hidden meaning in this. It just meant everything costs something. And in general, he's right. Ain't nothing free. Everything in the world comes at a cost. But today we aren't talking about the world, we're talking about the kingdom of God. So if we read the first half of our verse today, for the wage of sin is death. Our ain't nothing free line does work here. The wages of sin is death. When we are in sin, the cost of our sin is death. Spiritual death, eternal death, sometimes even physical bodily death. Some of our sin can literally kill our human bodies. The wage of sin is death. But the free, I will repeat that word, free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our ain't nothing free mantra does not compute when we are talking about the free gift of God that comes in our salvation. This salvation in Jesus Christ truly is free. It costs us nothing. It's really the only free thing that I can think of. Salvation is a free gift to us. Now, do we have any teenagers in here? Raise your hand if you're a teenager. Now, Barb, we all know better. Who are the parents of these teenagers? Sims, you're not a teenager. Okay, I've got an illustration for you all now. Are you pondering buying your child a car? Probably making them work. I can picture it now. You get on Facebook Marketplace and haggle with the fools that are on there, and you buy your child their first car. You take the car to the car wash and get it all shined up and put a bow on it, and your child comes out and they see the gift you've given them. The gift is free to them. It did not cost them anything. But this gift costs you $10,000 or whatever you decide to spend on your child, $5,000. Jimmy, you've got cars laying around. You don't have to go buy another. Jesus offers us salvation as a free gift, but it didn't come free to him. Our opportunity for salvation cost Jesus everything. He lived 100% pure and sacrificial life for the sake of our salvation. Our salvation, which is a free gift to us, cost Jesus everything. He took on all the wrath of God at the cross and died for the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. And in Christian scholarship, we call this act substitutionary atonement. And you do not have to remember that, but it is helpful. Substitutionary atonement, I can't even say it, is a bunch of fancy words that means it should have been us that was crucified. The wages of sin is death. We deserve death for our sinful nature. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus suffered and died on your behalf. He died a death that you deserve. And once you grasp this, the gospel will have life-changing power in you. Now, I've got an illustration for all of us here. It applies to all of us. Put yourself in this headspace. It's kind of a dark headspace to put yourself in, but do it anyways. You have been convicted of a crime, and you are guilty of the crime. And the penalty of the crime is the electric chair. People aren't crucified anymore. People are electrocuted. So put yourself in this headspace. You know you are a dead man. You're having your last meal, and you're weeping because you're terrified about what is about to happen, and you hear a knock on the door. You think it's the guards coming to march you to your death, but it's not the guards. It's a long-haired guy with sandals on, and he says, "I know you're guilty, and you know you're guilty, and we both know that you deserve to die for your crimes, but I'm going to die for you so that you can live." The man in the sandals with the long hair says, "I'm not guilty of anything. I'm actually innocent. But I love you so much that I'm going to die for you so that you can live." Not only that, if you believe that this death counts as the payment for your crime, you will actually live forever in this place called heaven. Wouldn't this be an exciting thing to have happened to you? Wouldn't this be good news? You were a criminal on death row. You were found guilty, you were committed of your crime, you were sentenced to death, and someone came along and paid it all for you so that you would be made right. After the long-haired, sandal-wearing man died that day, you were free of all of your charges, and they opened the gate of the prison, and they let you out the front door to live a new life. This is us. We are the criminal on death row. We all have a death sentence. We're all born with this death sentence. It's the one thing that all humanity has in common. We're all going to face death. No one, not a single person in this room, can physically escape death. We are guilty. None of us are innocent. And Jesus has actually come and died for us and offered us this way out. We will all physically die, for the wages of sin is death. But for those who accept Jesus' free gift of salvation, we will not die spiritually. We will dwell with him, for the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this substitutionary atonement, Jesus took our place and paid the cost for us. He was killed so that we would live for him. Now, if we go back to our death row story, imagine it was you. One day you're faced with the reality that you were going to die in prison and someone showed up and died for you. And the day that the guards let you out of that prison, they say you are free to go. How would you live your life then? Are you going back to your life of crime? Are you going back to your sin? Or are you going to live your life for the one who died for you? And this is what Jesus is calling each and every one of us to do. He didn't just die to give us a get out of jail free card. He died so that we'd be born again, made new, and made different. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to live holy lives. He wants us to live our lives for him because of his grace. And whether you like it or not, you are the death row inmate in this story. You're either sitting in that room having your last meal, waiting on death, or you have walked out the front door of the jail a free man because someone paid the cost for you. The good news for everyone who is still in that room weeping in discomfort is that the man with the long hair and the sandals is right outside the door, and I can prove it to you with a Bible verse. If we go to Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus has already come and died for anyone who would believe. We all deserve death, but instead, Christ Jesus died for us. Cry out to Jesus like you would if you were sitting in that room in prison eating your last meal, because whether you want to admit it or not, if you aren't following Jesus, that's you in this story. He's standing at the door, and the only thing you have to do is to accept that his death on the cross counted for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth of your word that we all are born with a death sentence. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, and we're all we can't escape this death. And you've offered us a way out, and not just as a get out of jail free card. Like I said, it's not just a ticket to heaven; it's a ticket to the kingdom. While we're here on the earth, that we would glorify you with our actions. We're all sinful criminals, maybe not criminal in the way of the world, but we all have broken, blackened hearts. We're all there's no good in us apart from you. You are what is good. And Lord, I pray that people would come to know you through this Romans Road salvation story, that we would all understand that we're sinful and there's consequence to our sin, and you died for us. And it's through this death, burial, and resurrection that we are saved. And Lord, as we sit here today and we celebrate these mothers and celebrate everything else we are celebrating today, all of that is because of your goodness. I enjoyed what Steve said, that God, you're the one that gave us our mother. So, and that might not have always ended well, and we might not have had a good mother. But Lord, you're in control of all things, and you put people in our lives for a reason. And once we become committed to you, once we're following you, even if we had a bad mother, that bitterness should be gone. And like Paula said, we should we have a family of Christian brothers and sisters, and we walk hand in hand with each other, and we pick up the slack in our lives. If we were raised with poor circumstances, we as believers come alongside each other and live well and live right and live holy lives according to the way you tell us to live. So, Lord, I pray that people would hear this message of salvation and not see it as a... I mean, this was a little bit of a scary story today, but your redemption story is not scary at all. It's a beautiful story, and it's the story that you call us to. It's a story of faith that we would believe, stop believing in the lies of the world and start believing in you. It's changed my life. I know it's changed the lives of many others in this room. So I pray that if there's anybody lost here, that they would just stand up and come forward and say, I want to be in relationship with God. I'm sinful, and I want to follow Jesus all the days of my life until the day that I die. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.